One of the biggest brains in artificial intelligence on how to survive the coming AI apocalypse.
Maybe some of the work we are doing now, some of the research into the AI alignment problem could make a difference, make it more likely that we will end up with machine superintelligence that is on our side.
From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. As machines become stronger and smarter, they will act as competitors for our jobs, colleagues in our businesses, and they'll even become part of us. Nick Bostrom is the director of the Future of Humanity Institute at the University of Oxford. He's also the author of the book Superintelligence: Paths, Dangers, Strategies. I asked him whether he thinks artificial intelligence will eventually let us enhance our own brains.
Well, so there are a number of possible routes that could lead to superintelligence and any form of general intelligence that vastly outstrips current human intelligence. So you could imagine enhancements to our biological cognitive capacities through maybe genetic selection or genetic engineering or some other method. Or you could imagine artificial intelligence getting there first. To some extent, it's an open question whether the biotech route or the AI route will first bring us superintelligence. Ultimately, though, I think machine intelligence just has a vastly higher potential. There are fundamental limits to information processing in biological tissue, such as our brains.
You have argued that, you know, when we talk about artificial intelligence, that we humans are like children playing with a bomb. You know, there are plenty of good business cases being made for an increase in the abilities of artificial intelligence. Do you think that that's something that's likely, the economic push is something that's likely to set that bomb off sooner?
Certainly. I mean, there are a lot of reasons for pushing forward with AI research. One of them, increasingly, is the commercial relevance of this technology. There is also, and has for a longer time, been sort of scientific curiosity driving this forward, and spillover from other scientific disciplines like statistics, computer science, neuroscience. But for sure, now the forces driving this forward are very strong and getting stronger.
And people really disagree about the timeline. And of course, on some level, the threat. You know, you've argued we're playing with a bomb. Elon Musk and other technologists agree. Then there are people like Andrew Ng and engineers doing AI research who are saying, look, we're hundreds or thousands of years away from such an eventuality. What do you think is the possible timeline?
I can't actually think of, I can't remember anybody who thinks it's hundreds of thousands of years. I guess there are some that think it might never happen. But we did a survey of some of the world's leading machine learning experts last year. And one of the questions we asked was, when do you think there will be human-level machine intelligence or high-level machine intelligence defined as AI that can do all jobs, at least as well as a human? And well, depending on how you ask the questions or so, usually the median answer to that is about, it's a 50% chance by 2045. And you're right that opinions are all over the place. There's certainly nothing like a consensus. Some people are very convinced it will happen much sooner, and others are convinced it will take a lot longer. But it's still interesting to note that, for what it's worth, the sort of the average AI researcher thinks that there's a very sizable chance of it happening within our lifetimes.
And would you say that machines then become competitors, colleagues, or is there also the possibility that we will become increasingly machine, maybe through the sort of neural interlace technology that we've heard Elon Musk talk about?
So how it plays out then depends on how well we manage this transition to the machine superintelligence era. It's not clear what the outcome will be. So maybe some of the work we are doing now, some of the research into the AI alignment problem could make a difference, make it more likely that we will end up with machine superintelligence that is on our side, that is sort of an extension of the human will, that's friendly to us and safe, as opposed to some alien antagonistic force that ultimately overwhelms us.
And of course, you say that's assuming that everything goes well, that we have a controlled detonation. What does the other scenario look like?
Right. So I think there is like a sequence of problems. Like, so in order to get the privilege of confronting this question of meaning and employment, we first have to make sure that we solve the technical AI alignment problem.
Right.
So that we don't have some AI going off making paper clips out of the whole planet because it happened to be misprogrammed with the goal of just wanting as many paper clips as possible. So if we solve that technical problem, then we kind of get to confront the economic problem. And if we solve that too, then maybe we get the privilege of confronting the meaning problem of what to do with the leisure that you have and the wealth that you have.
Nick Bostrom is the director of the Future of Humanity Institute at the University of Oxford, and I am both delighted and freaked out to even know that we need an institute for the future of humanity. Now, you may also have heard of Nick Bostrom as the guy who came up with the hypothesis that we could be living in a computer simulation. Kai Rizdahl and I discussed that with him on our podcast this week called Make Me Smart. And if you would like to hear the almost completely unedited conversation with him, because, oh my God, is this dude smart, you can find that in the source code over at MarketplaceTech.com. I'm Molly Wood. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.